And girls, last time you remember, we saw how God was ready to take the children of Israel out of the wilderness at the mountain of Sinai and to take them into that land of Canaan that he had promised to give them. Now, the way that they were going to do that, of course, they were going to have to conquer some of those enemies that were in the land. And so Moses, you remember, decided that there should be some spies to go in and search out the land and see what it was like. And so those 12 men went, and they saw the many good things that were in the land of Canaan. They saw that it was the time of the harvest. They saw how the great big grapes grew in great clusters. But they also saw some things that made them afraid, made them weak at the knees. They saw that the cities were very great, that they were armed cities. And they saw above all things that the people, the soldiers, the men of war in those cities were great big strong men. They were like giants, in fact, in their eyes. So they came back, they told the other children of Israel what they had seen. And of course, the children of Israel were quite keen to have all the good things that were in the land of Canaan. But when they heard of the soldiers like giants, then they were very frightened and they said, no, we're not going to go into that land. We could never take that land. And they began to complain to Moses. Take us back to the land of Egypt, they said, because we were happier in the land of Egypt. But Caleb and Joshua, you remember, only those two men out of the 12 spies, they said, no, it's a good land and we can take the land because God has promised to give us the land. And if God has promised to give us the land, then God will surely keep his promise. But the people were mad at Joshua and Caleb. Bible says that they took up stones and they were ready to stone them. But just as that was going to happen, you remember the last thing we spoke about, how the glory of God appeared in the tabernacle in a great light, in a great cloud, shining with light, and the people were afraid. And then God said, because you have refused to rely on my promise and go into the land, you're going to wander in this desert for 40 years until all of this older generation has died and only the new generation, only those who will be born, those that are children now, only they will come in to the land of Canaan. So the children of Israel then were going to have to wander round and round and round in the wilderness for 40 years before God then was going to give them that land of Canaan at last. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us a great deal about what happened during that 40 years. It's a long period of time, but the Bible doesn't tell us very much about what happened during that 40 years. But the things that it does tell us, some of them are very strange things, and it's one of those strange things that I want us to think about this morning. You see, they kept rebelling against Moses. They kept rebelling against God, and so God, as God will do, boys and girls, he began to punish them for their sins. And it happened like this. One night they were sleeping in their tents and they heard very strange noises outside their tents. It was a kind of a rustling noise, a kind of a slithering, sliding noise. And you can imagine how they pulled open the door of their tent and they looked out. What do you think they saw? They saw snakes, they saw serpents all over the ground. Some of them would have been slithering up the sides of the tents. Some of them would have been beginning to make their way in under the flaps of the tents. Some of them were coming in the doors of the tents. Serpents, snakes, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. And not only that, they were snakes that when they bit, the Bible says that it was like fire in the people that they bit. And then those people began to die, began to fall down under those bites of the serpents. And God indeed was punishing them for their sins. Now the people saw that. And so they came to Moses and they said to Moses, we realize that God has sent this plague, sent these serpents upon us. Do something, Moses. Go to God and ask God if he will send us a cure for this plague. And so Moses went to God and he began to pray to God. And God told him, in fact, the way that the people could be cured of those fiery serpents' bites. And it was a very strange way. God said to Moses, Moses, take a bit of brass and make out of that bit of brass a snake. Make a brass snake. Make a brazen serpent. Brazen and brass means the same thing. And take the brass snake, he says, and put it on a pole and lift it up in the pole and put it in the ground right in the middle of the camp of the Israelites. And Moses said, God, if anybody looks believing on that snake that it's what I have sent as a cure for those serpent's bites, that person will be cured of the serpent's bites. The Bible tells us then, boys and girls, indeed, that everyone who looked up believing that this is what God had done and this is how God was going to cure them, everyone who looked at that brass snake in that way, they were cured of the bites that they had received from those serpents on the ground before they died. Those who didn't look, of course, in that way were never cured, and they did die of their bites. And so God, although he had sent the plague upon them, punishment for their sins, God in his goodness, you see, boys and girls, had also provided a way for them to be cured of that disease. And the cure, although it was a very strange one, it was the one that God himself had said they must take. So as they looked, believing, up on the brass snake, lifted up on the pole in the middle of the camp of the Israelites, so they were cured of that had come upon them. Now listen very carefully, because this is one of the ways in which you read the Old Testament scriptures of God and you see pictures, illustrations of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one night our Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to a man called Nicodemus. And as he was speaking to Nicodemus, Nicodemus really wanted to know how to enter the kingdom of God. We would say he wanted to know how to become a Christian. And the Lord tells him, of course, that he must be born again. And then he tells him that he's the one that has come down from heaven so that people can be saved from their sins. And then here's what he says. He says, "And no man has ascended up to heaven but the Son of Man which came down from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven." And he says, Nicodemus, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." You see what he's saying? Nicodemus, he says, you remember the story way back in the Old Testament about how the children of Israel were cured of that terrible plague? It was by looking on that serpent that was lifted up in the pole. Well, Nicodemus, he says, that's a picture of me. Because when I'm lifted up on the cross and crucified, then whoever looks on me believing shall be saved from their sins. They won't perish. They won't go into hell. They shall go into the kingdom of heaven. They shall be saved. That's a tremendous thing. The Bible tells us, boys and girls, here is the only way to be saved. It's by looking on Christ crucified for our sins. We're all sinners. But the Bible tells us if we only look to Jesus Christ, we shall surely be saved. I'm sure if you listen when we're preaching many a time, you'll hear us speaking about a great preacher of the past called Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was converted when he was quite young, when he was a young boy. And it happened like this. He set out to go to the usual church that he went to on a Sunday morning, but it was snowing very heavy. He couldn't go to the church that he was planning to go to, so he went to the nearest one. And there was an old man preaching there. We don't know what he's called. We don't know anything about him. He wasn't even a very good preacher, says Mr. Spurgeon later on. But he took as his text, "Look on to me and be ye saved." There weren't many people in the church. And the old man shouted out at one point in his sermon, he said, "Young man, sitting under the balcony, you look on to Jesus and be saved." Mr. Spurgeon later on says, he says, "I looked and I looked until I could have looked my eyes away." See, he saw Jesus, boys and girls. He saw Jesus with the eye of faith, dying on the cross for his salvation. That's how you become a Christian. You don't become a Christian any other way but by looking on Jesus. And you think way back there, way those hundreds, thousands of years before Jesus came into the world, God was already giving an illustration of what it would be like when Jesus would come. And then when Christ comes and speaks to that man Nicodemus, he takes that illustration to make the gospel clear to Nicodemus's heart and mind. Nicodemus, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man," that's Jesus, "even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have eternal life. So you remember that, boys and girls. Remember the story of the brazen serpent. But above all things, remember what it is meant to tell us of. It's meant to tell us of Jesus and his cross.